reaching new listeners. This is Lee here. As a way to intro today's episode, I just want to first off say today's going to be a little different. And one of the reasons is because Thomas and I have kind of taken some time during spring break just to, you know, be at home with our families and that kind of stuff. And so we didn't have an episode last week, and now we've got a little bit of a different one this week. And it's just one of those things. Thank you for being patient with us, and thanks for checking in on the show. It's tough when you see somebody else taking off for spring break, and maybe you're in a job where you don't get one. It's like the other day, my buddy Thomas Wickland sent me a picture of a cookout where all these guys were gathering together at a golf course to have a cookout with these Wagyu hot dogs and all this fancy, just fancy side dishes and everything. And I was like, thanks for that picture. I don't even get to have that. And I feel like we've done that a little bit with y'all. We're enjoying our spring break and you didn't get to have a podcast. Anyway, today's going to be cool. Thomas had a really cool thought that he wanted to develop out and put it on here for this feed. I hope you guys enjoy it. We love y'all. We're thankful for you. Welcome to Ancient and New.
I think I wrote my first song, I guess you could call it a song, in eighth grade. It's something I've always loved doing, but there isn't really a ton of evidence that I actually do it. But I've done it for a long time. One thing my wife is really good at that I only recently realized I am terrible at is determining the meaning behind songs. We've had conversations over the past year while listening to music where she's been like, she's clearly talking about her cat that died when she was 12. Or, ugh, I can't believe he did that and he's bragging about it. And I'm like, what? What did he do? No joke, there have been songs I've been faithfully singing for a decade now where she's pointed out what they're actually singing about, only for me to be appalled. Hotline Bling's about what? Who knew? I didn't know. It's been a revolutionary thing for myself to realize. As a writer, I've known how much or how little you have to think about what you're putting into what you're saying or what you want to be conveyed. I mean, there's only a finite number of words in the human vernacular. But as a consumer, it's pushed me even more to try and understand, to try and listen more, to think harder. Like, okay, a few weeks ago, one of my oldest friends asked me, have you listened to My Darling by Wilco since you had a kid? And you should, by the way, right now, you should stop and look up that song. And indeed, I had not. Check this out. I'm just going to read the lyrics to you, so don't worry about listening. Forget that I said that. It says this, go back to sleep now, my darling. And I'll keep all the bad dreams away. Breathe now. Think sweet things. And I'll think of all the right words to say. Because we made you, my darling. With love in each of our hearts. We were a family, my darling, right from the start. Grow up now, please. But don't grow up too fast. And be sure to make all the good times last. Because we made you, my darling. With the love in each of our hearts. We were a family, my darling, right from the start. Whew! I mean, as a new dad with a whole new box of emotions I didn't know existed, I was in tatters when Cam texted me and was like, you should listen to that now. I just see my little boy when he wakes up screaming and I'm holding him and rocking him back to sleep. Sheesh. He got his first haircut the other day and nobody warned you that it ages them like 10 years. I think when you get a haircut, they hand them like 15 new words they didn't know. And I can't stand it. He's the best. But when I first heard that song 10 years ago, I just didn't see it the way it was written, which I feel a bit silly now that I'm reading these words out loud because it's so stinking obvious. Let's talk about another one before I melt down thinking about that song. I think Cardigan by Taylor Swift is one of the greatest songs of all time. I know it just came out a couple years ago, but I'll wrestle you over that. The mood, the melody, when I first heard those things the first time, before I knew a single word she wrote, they totally drew me in. I was hooked. After about 10 times of knowing all the words and singing the phrase, when you are young, they assume you know nothing, followed right after with, but I knew you. It's so cool. People think you're dumb because you're a teenager. Well, maybe not dumb, maybe not even a teenager, but until you can grow a beard or pay your own bills or whatever the mark of someone with age is, you just aren't going to get any respect. It's as if she's saying that's universally true, but she's pleading with whoever will listen and understand. But I did know you. I may not know much. I may not fully understand much. Or worse, I really do know some stuff, but I'm not given credit for much because I'm young. But hear me when I say, I did know you. I knew this thing better than most. As the youngest sibling of two very smart, gifted, and successful older sisters, it shook me to think about this song this way. It still shakes me to think about someone else uttering an insecurity I've always carried with me, the thought of knowing nothing. As a 29-year-old man, I would like to think that I know myself a little bit. I know that I love birding. I know that if you gave me the choice, I would pick being outside 9 times out of 10 over being inside. I know that from my taste buds, Gallo Loco Mexican Restaurant is the best food in my town. Let me say it again. Gallo is the best. I know that I would prefer 7.5 hours of sleep, but with 2 cups of coffee, I can be a decent, functional human being with 5.5. I know that I have a better desire to try and make sense of the lyrics and songs I listen to now. Thanks, Patty. I know that arguably my biggest insecurity is the thought of people thinking I actually don't know anything. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you would say you feel the same way. I read a thing just this morning. I know that time doesn't matter on a podcast, but I promise you, it was this morning that completely obliterated this insecurity of mine. I mean, no joke. I feel like such a different person right now as I'm writing this. Well, reading it now to you all. I feel so fired up that I had to share it with the world, aka like the 10 people who listen to this show. No joke. I read it this morning and I wrote this because I was like, wait, this is so cool and so helpful to me. Check this out. In Luke 5, the Pharisees grumble to the disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? To this, Jesus replied, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To read this response through the eyes of Luke, who was a doctor, I can almost see him with whoever he interviewed for this knowledge, giggling, thinking, that's my language. That's so cool. Healthy and sick people. But when I read it this morning, I couldn't stop thinking about the second half of Jesus' response. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. There's actually a lot going on in this. I love the idea of Jesus knowing Luke would later transcribe this, but I also believe Jesus is laying the foundation of a ministry full of teachings that will require exactly what he's saying, repentance. AKA, you're going to have to change your mind on some things. Consider what you know and be ready for it to flip on its head. Consider what you know and be ready for it to be wrong, or possibly consider that you may not know much. Wow, that's huge. I mean, consider to whom Jesus is speaking. A bunch of dudes who, in my estimation, and through plenty of reading about their thinking and actions, I would consider having thought themselves done, cooked, finished, peaked, as smart as it gets. And Jesus says, hey, you know all that stuff you think you know? Get ready to change it. In fact, that's what I'm asking you to do. They followed up with another question, to which Jesus more or less responds by saying his teaching is like new wine. It needs room to grow. If you don't give it space, it's going to burst your brains. It's alive. It's bubbly. It's expansive. Quite frankly, the rest of Jesus' ministry is full of teachings like that. That if they aren't allowed space to work, they'll do exactly that. If we don't give them space and we aren't willing to change how we think on some things, they can't fit in our brains. There's someone for whom I have a tender spot, especially this time of year, in Lent, rolling up on Easter. Someone who only appears in the Gospel of John. Before he spoke these words, Jesus had been at a home healing a paralyzed man, who Mark tells us is located in the town of Capernaum. Right before that, Luke tells us people had come from everywhere, Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, just to hear him speak. It's possible, and it just wouldn't shock me the tiniest bit, if among the crowd of people who came to hear him from Jerusalem, that we now know that we know included Pharisees, there was an old man listening who had met with Jesus a little earlier by the name of Nicodemus, a guy of immense power, wealth, and status, an older dude, a guy who on paper knew a lot. In fact, by the book, as part of the Jewish ruling council, when it comes to terms of Phariseeism, he knew all of it. He was the guy with the answers. Yet, he was a guy who had enough of an inkling to pull Jesus aside one night to ask him some important questions. To which Jesus responded by saying, "Do you really not understand this? Have you ever thought you were an expert on something only to find out you aren't? Maybe in Nico's case, he was already beginning to realize he wasn't, which led him to Jesus. Either way, I can't imagine being seemingly one of those dudes who, in my estimation, and through plenty of reading about their thinking and actions, I would consider having thought him done, cooked, finished, peaked, as smart as it gets. Yet, there he was, late one night, having the teacher, as he called him, teacher, point out, "You aren't done. You really don't know everything." I don't really know how Nicodemus initially took hearing that from Jesus. But if my assumptions are true, and maybe, just maybe, he was in this crowd Jesus told to change their thinking, the one that we looked at in Luke 5. Maybe initially he sulked. Maybe initially he called his wife upset. Maybe initially he cried. I don't know. We don't know. But the coolest thing happens after this encounter in Luke 5. In John chapter 7, we see Nicodemus dip his toe in the water of speaking up for Jesus in front of his other wealthy, powerful friends. A far cry from having to meet Jesus under the cover of darkness. But we aren't done. Nicodemus shows up again, this time as bold as can be, with his buddy Joseph, asking for the body of Christ, his teacher. He showed up in a way that only someone who has had an encounter with teachings and let them completely change their life would. In a way that only someone who has let go of the notion of knowing it at all could possibly show up. I personally believe Nicodemus was an old man who went to Jesus, whether he knew it or not, with the approach of, "I'm going to let him teach me what he wants." And I think, though I don't know for sure, but the growth we see over the course of 2.5 years in his life indicates to me that he met those teachings with the mindset of, "What if I don't know everything? What if he actually does? What if Jesus actually does? What if my teacher actually does? What would it look like for me to assume I know nothing? What would it look like for me to look at the world with the approach of, I don't really know what I'm doing or how to do it, but Jesus does? What if I let him tell me what he wants? What if I let him tell me how he feels about things?" What Jesus came to do, according to Luke 5, is call sinners to repentance. To call sinners towards changing the way they think. Sinners, aka me. What would it look like to assume I know nothing? I think it could be the most life-changing thing I could do.
Well, I want to see through your eyes. Say my life is your life. Make every single day another chance to say, I want to please you more. I want to love you, Lord. I want to live like I'm your child.